Welcome to Michelle Speaks. I am your host, Michelle Lawrence. It's the middle of the day in the middle of the week, but you've tuned into the right show to get you over the hump. We will have riveting conversations about what I call the four W's: worth, wellness, wisdom, and wealth. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in His sight. Good afternoon, 860 AM listeners, and hello to all of you who are looking at us live. I'm Michelle Lawrence, your host for Michelle Speaks, and I'm excited to have another hour with you this week to talk about one of the four W's: worth, wellness, wisdom, and wealth. But like with every show, we're going to get this show started as we do, acknowledging the one who's made it all possible. And we're going to get started with scripture. This week's scripture comes from Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and the 6th verse. And I'll be reading both the KJV, the King James Version, and the NIV. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The NIV says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. I've just read for you Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, the 6th verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of His word. We're all familiar with this passage, particularly the verse about train up a child in the way he should go, and when he or she is old, he will not depart from it. We've gone away from so many of the traditions regarding training, raising, and developing our children. I grew up in a time when an entire village was actively involved in my rearing. My parents were given in the process. My grandparents, my aunts, uncles, and even older cousins played a role in my growing up. This was just the beginning of those who would play an active role in my development. My teachers, my neighbors, were equally, and I might add even willingly, participating in ensuring I was safe from harm. I was diligent about my learning, and my behaviors were in line with their expectations. My church family was instrumental in the village as well. It's where I had my first learnings. The church surrounded me and embraced me and encouraged me, but they too had great expectations and reinforced accountabilities when I was out of line. I understand this is a foreign concept for most today, but if in fact we don't want the village involved in the rearing of our children, then the efforts at home have to not double, but even triple. Between working multiple jobs to provide for the family and ensuring that other components are in place pose even more of a challenge in today's family structure. This was the benefit of the village, because when my parents had to work, they were comforted by knowing that their were neighbors, family members, church family, and teachers, the extended family as they called it, who loved me, who celebrated me, as well as held me accountable. When we disassembled this village, we literally turned our children over to other influencers and other disciplinarians. They are finding new definitions of family in gangs and are being disciplined by our court systems and even our officers. By no means am I pointing any fingers or saying that there's not enough being done. What I am asking and calling for is the reinstitution of the village. It's in this village that we create healthy, strong, family-oriented children. It's there where they get to grow and they get the learning and they get the support and they get the proper correction and discipline. The village is needed. In the village, mothers and fathers were comforted in knowing that even when in their absence, there were people who were present. More of that is needed today. More of the village concept, more of all of us getting involved in raising, training, and developing our next generation. There's an absence of love in our communities. And in order for the village to be brought back, love is needed. And speaking of love, today's song comes from none other than Stevie Wonder, Love's in Need of Love.
Good morning or evening, friends. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. It's that love in need of love today. Don't delay, send yours in right away. Hey, go on round, breaking many hearts. Stop, be pleased, before it's gone too.
Songs by Stevie Wonder, and he has a lot. Marcus, Asha, and I were talking to the folks live as to what, you know, this song represents, him means. And in fact, you know, the village is in need of love. Part of what we're missing in our village is the love for one another. And so to get that concept back, we need to understand that, you know, no, we don't have the right to put our hands on someone else's child. But here's what I will tell you from my experience of growing up in a village. Better to have the extended family caring and correcting than to have the court systems and police officers, you know, correcting and disciplining. That's not what we want for our community. So let's get back to the village and people that are doing it right and making it happen. We were having great conversation. I had to remind them we had to get back on the air. I have a father-daughter duo who are doing big things. I could have called this show anything. In fact, I told them that. But It's a Family Affair, part one, doing big business in small communities is what they do. I've had experience with both Marcus Knuckles and Asha Knuckles. And I'm going to do them justice by first introducing them. Marcus Knuckles is a business finance consultant, business development at BMP Management Group. He's worked 10-plus years in the mortgage industry. And what I will tell you that I have experienced from Marcus is he works hard. He is persistent. No matter how many times you may say no, he is back finding a way to get his community access to capital. And so welcome, Marcus.
Thank you, Michelle.
So glad to have you. And that's why it's a family affair, because it's all in the family here with the Knuckles. We've got Asha Knuckles, owner of Elite Management and Consulting Services, LLC. I'm so excited to say that because, you know, she is a black woman doing big things. And this was established in 2016 by her and a few of her colleagues. EMC serves the Camden City community by providing financial education and planning for those to take home ownership. She also has 6 years in the financial industry. And I can tell you from my experience with Asha, she leads with a caring heart.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, she doesn't treat people as a number or as a customer. She cares about their outcomes, and she works very hard to ensure that tools and resources are provided so that they are prepared for home ownership. So let me welcome the Knuckles to Michelle Speaks. So glad to have both of you in the studio today. I'm going to get started with Dad. We were having some conversation. That's right, Dad. He's actually on his best behavior today. We were having some conversation about what it meant to have the right village and how that village also inspired you. Share with the listeners some of the things you were talking about in terms of the journey and, you know, the stepfather and the roles that were influenced you.
Sure. The village has been unbelievably important to the development of me as a father, and then also the development of my children, mm-hmm. As becoming, you know, young women, young men. And it started immediately, yeah. You know, it started immediately with just my internal family. You know, my mom was a single parent. And you know, she got married when I was about 6-7 years old. So that was a transition, you know, kind of like having a new man, around. And, but a man that, you know, I always tell people, you know, my stepdad loved me so good. We look alike.
Wow.
You know, because he always took care of me as if I was his blood, you know, and nobody never knew it. Like I barely ever call him stepfather. We're in an interview, but you know, he's dad.
Right.
And you know, and he was, you know, God blessed me with him because, you know, in hindsight, I realized, you know, the type of journey that I was going to take on, I needed to have him, you know, as a father. So, and you know, it was just amazing the development and how you look back on things and you see like where God placed certain people in your life, you know, even to the churches that we went to, mm-hmm. you know, the people, that we encountered, you know, even as a father now, like seeing, you know, my oldest two, Asha, she's 24. I have a 20-year-old son, Amir. He's about to be 21. But one of the things that amazes me now and really touches my heart now is seeing them as adults. Is their own, like seeing their own personal development, you know, yeah. with the Lord and like their spiritual development. Like I knew the times and taking them to children's church and all that stuff, like it paid off. Like, you know, and you know, having Sunday school teachers come up to me and say, hey, you pray with your kids, don't you? You know, things of that nature. So that part, you know, as far as the village, it has helped me tremendously in their development.
And that's evident, you know, training up a child. You know, my experience with Asha, I need you to get closer. My experience with Asha is she does have that relationship. So I can tell, you know, I was guilty of being called a daddy's girl, Asha. So don't let it. You know, I say it all the time. I am guilty of being a daddy's girl. You know, I, by all means, I have ways of my mom, but I'm guilty of being a daddy's girl. So talk more, right? You know, your father's already so extremely proud of who you've become. Talk more about how your relationship with him shaped you into the woman you are today.
I would say two things. We come from a family that's really, really strong in love. And I think when something is normal to you, you don't really realize how significant it is until you may, you know, go over to a friend's house or you go out into the world and you see how rare it is and how blessed you are to have it. Like, it's so weird to even hear, like I said, hear my dad mention the word stepfather because for a long time, I didn't even realize that, like my grandpa is my grandpa. And, you know, that's just the kind of family that we have. Even, like, my mother, she has also my sister. And even my sister's dad has always been, like, really involved in my life. So I'm just blessed to have a lot of people say, like, oh, there's, like, a shortage of good black men. And I'm not saying that that's not true, but I have been, like, blessed to have some really, really wonderful, strong men of color in my life from, you know, my father, grandfathers, my dad's friends are all, like, really supportive. I got a lot of my first employment opportunities from his friends who own businesses who were, you know, strong black men. So, yeah, and then just being very transparent, my family never, especially my parents, they never really held my hand on things. I always knew what was going on. I always knew, like, you know, if things were tough, then I knew that things were tough. And, you know, in the end, it paid off because I'm always making decisions and always conscious of, and people make fun of me all the time. They're like, why do you always say, oh, I'm like, no, I can't do that. My dad is not going to be with that. And then they think that, oh, he's going to be like some like military sergeant, but he's not. I've never, like, my parents aren't like really, really disciplined, but I know, you know, the sacrifices that they've made. I know how hard they work. I know what's on the line. So I've always been able to like execute that without them having to, you know, people think they have to stay on top of their kids and be really, really tough. And I'm not saying that you don't need to, but I know, you know, being the oldest child, and I always make fun of my younger brother, Meyer, who's 8, because his upbringing has been totally different because of just like, you know, like stability. Like with the oldest child, like, you know, my dad mentioned, you know, he had me at a young age. So I remember when times were harder. So, you know, I'm a little bit more humble, and I just understand and appreciate everything that, you know, my dad has sacrificed, you know, to help me to, you know, get to where I am today. So,
and it's evident in how you've established the business. It's evident in how you are teaching people to manage finances. So training up a child in the way that they should go is critical to their livelihood. And I know you're looking at the 8-year-old going, oh my goodness, if you get one more thing, really, is that what's going to happen? There's no discipline for you. Let me help you on this discipline end. But the village that you talked about, the village of your father's friends, the village of your grandparents, everyone getting involved to say, we need to make sure that she has the best care, the best love, the best guidance. And everyone taking that role says a lot about, you know, why you're able to do what you're doing. Even as a mom, you know, I watch, and I was talking about it earlier, this 3 generations, you know, he gets to be, you know, the grandpa now, but I watch as how both of you are very deliberate with your son. Say more about that.
I see things through a whole new light as a parent.
Yeah.
And I totally understand now even more why my dad and my mom were always a certain way with certain things. I think with your child, and I think a lot of things that some people don't realize is that they don't realize the big responsibility, like the emotional responsibility of being a parent, and just, you know, really, you know, letting a child know that, you know, they can be everything mm-hmm. that they want to be. And I think a lot of times, or let me go back a little bit. So my dad mentioned earlier that, you know, he had me at a young age, and I can relate to some of the things that my parents went through with, you know, having a child. Like, I had my son when I was 19. I was not married. And I think sometimes people will automatically count you out. So mm-hmm. I can relate to, you know, how, you know, they may have felt. But, you know, you can't let that stuff, you know, weigh you down. Right. You have to stay determined. If anything, having my son motivated me even more. And he is really the reason why I have this business today. You know, I had my son. When I was pregnant with my son, I was living with my mother. And I wasn't okay with being that person with living with somebody with a baby. So I'm like, okay, so I'm going to move out. But, you know, I'm not going to pay a bunch of money for a 2-bedroom apartment. So I'm going to buy a house because it's less expensive and it's something to leave for my child. So that's really how the journey started. And I was inspired to start my business because of the journey that I went through, you know, in pursuing home ownership. So everything ties together. So when I think back on those moments where I was like really frustrated and emotional and, you know, feeling discouraged, it all ties together. I was just being prepared. So
let me see if I understand this, because there's a piece that I don't think even folks live or listening. At 19, you said, I don't want to live in with my mother, and I don't want the expense of a 2-bedroom apartment. I'm going to go buy a house.
Yes.
So, listeners, that's training up a child. No, I really need you to hear. We are talking about the W for the day, as being wealth and tying in and worth. So I have double W's today, worth and wealth. But part of what I hear Marcus did with you, Asha, is in that rearing, and as much as you were ever present spiritually, there was a financial component around how to spend, what to spend on, how to save, how to save, how to save. And I'm driving that particular point home because I think we are great at the spend.
Absolutely.
We are not. Yeah. Right. We are great consumers. Well, what do you have?
I still am.
The difference is being able to, and I tell that to folks, it becomes all relative according to what you have. Right. My spend is relative to my income. Right.
Absolutely.
But the moment my spend starts to exceed my income, then I am out of balance. And for you to be able to say at 19, I want something better for my son, and it not be a one bedroom, let alone a two bedroom, but to say, I think I'm just going to go get this house. That says a lot, Asha. That says a lot about your character. It says a lot about you, Marcus. But that's why I have you guys on the show, because those pieces are needed in our communities. Those pieces around the financial education, around the family dynamics. And I've heard different dynamics from stepdads, like I'm a stepmom, and nobody would ever know because I've gotten so many, he looks just like you, and we both laugh and go, yup. You know, we just keep it moving. Why? Because there's that relationship. My parents are grandma and grandpa. You know, that's just what it is. But when you have that, when you have that kind of relationship, when you have that kind of rearing, it makes all the difference in the world in what you want to do. And because I have stepped away to become an entrepreneur, he has subsequently said, this is what I'm going to do. You know, you've done it, so now it's time for me. And so paving the path, you know, your dad has done it, now you're doing it, and you're doing it deliberately so that your son can see this is what it means to have your own.
Exactly. And I think when raising your kids, you can also kind of focus on areas where you are weak and kind of focus on developing that with them. Like with my son, I was a little – he started this year was his first year of pre-K, and he had like an excellent, excellent teacher. And I just felt really discouraged because I was always working. And the class that he was in, the parental involvement was, like, you know, phenomenal. So I finally, you know, took some time off of work, and I went into the class one day. And sometimes they'll have, you know, the parents come in and read a book. So I read a book about saving money. Mm-hmm. And we went to the classroom. We built piggy banks out of mason jars. And, you know, I pretty much talked to the kids about what I talked to my son about. We equate $1 with 4 quarters. And every time you get $1, we get the change, you put 1 quarter in the mason jar to save, and then the rest, you know, we'll put more sometimes, but just to get in that habit, because really, I think the thing is, like, saving is habitual. Like, you can have good habits just like you have bad habits.
Yeah.
So when, you know, you teach kids things or children things at a younger age, it just becomes second nature. So that's what I'm hoping, that it'll just be second nature for him to always think about tomorrow and not just live in the moment.
So, Marcus, how does that make you feel to know that that legacy is being passed on, what you passed on to Asha?
Oh, it's, you know, it's inspiring. Like, Asha has truly, truly inspired me to even do better, you know, because... You know, I look at it like this. I'm like, wow, if she can take what I've already given her to the level that she's taking it, if I give her a little bit more, then she can continue to go even higher. You know, and now, you know, on a professional level, like even in finance, you know, like as she has kind of built her own path and had her own work experience, she's been actually teaching me certain things that I didn't know. Which, you know, and I'm like, I'm so happy about, you know, and I'm even kind of encouraging her, you know, even in her career path, like, look, go higher, you know, go higher so we can share more information. And of course, you know, we share more information, we're able to service clients that much better.
Absolutely.
And, you know, our goal really, we really want to make this conversation or this type of conversation second nature in our communities, because just like we talk about, you know, the latest TV show, Power, and this and that. Like, we need to be talking about credit.
Yes.
And, you know, saving, and, you know, how, you know, just because you don't have a rich uncle, you know, you got a 750 credit score, that's the equivalent of a rich uncle, you know, and how you can leverage that and manage that, You know, so, you know, seeing Asha, you know, take some of the tools that I've given her, and take it to the next level. And, you know, the good thing is, like, I remember even when she was, you know, buying her house, like, you know, I was prepared to, you know, give her closing costs money and all that fun stuff, but she had everything in order. Like, it was like, didn't even, wow. You know, so it was like, you know, seeing that type of thing is just amazing. And, you know, it's like, you know, sky's the limit. And just like you said, you know, friends, like even my business friends that know Asha or whatever, like everybody's so excited for her, you know, and everybody like at some point wants to work with her at some level, you know, I get calls. I want to do a deal with your daughter, you know, and it's, and that's amazing to me, you know, so now it's like, you know, her. So now the next is my son Amir, you know, who's 20, you know, sometimes boys can be a little bit more challenging, but, you know.
But we're going to hang in there. We're going to hang in there.
All day. So in a few years, we'll be having this conversation again.
That's it. That's it. And he'll look at his big sister and say, you know, if she can do it, I'm sure I can do it.
Absolutely.
But again, I know I keep dwelling on that. To have closing costs at 19, do you know what kind of saving habit? No, seriously. Seriously. Just, so in perspective, how much was your closing cost?
So I ended up getting a really, really, I was in a really good situation. So I had a good problem. I bought my house in the city of Camden, and at the time they had like a first time home buyers assistance program where they give you $10,000 towards the closing costs and down payment, and they would typically split it. But because I was already getting my house at such a low price, I had to meet like a ratio. So the money that I did have to come to the table with, it didn't even go towards closing costs. I had to put that down towards the principal. And I want to say it was probably about $2,500.
So at 19, you had $2,500 at your disposal to put down on your house.
Yeah.
Now, if I were to survey 19-year-olds right now, how many do you think would have $2,500 to go to closing? Mm-hmm. See, and as much as we're smiling, we're not smiling. And the second segment is geared towards doing big business in small communities and how you too can be prepared for your own home closing, how you too can achieve the credit score. You know, I know we think it's a myth to have great credit. It's not. 750 is attainable. It's managing your debt. It's determining whether or not you need to incur some of this debt. And there is good debt, but it's also making your payments and so much more. So as we get to our second segment, I need you to stay plugged in. Those of you who are live, stay with us as we get through this break. It's Michelle Speaks on 860 AM. We'll be right back.
This Wednesday, 1 p.m., drop everything that you're doing and tune in right here, the heart of the city, with me, Malik Boyd. This is a no-holds-barred show. Real issues, real discussions, real solutions. And with some great guests, hot topics, and some surprises mixed in, I promise you this will be a show you don't want to miss. The heart of the city with me, Malik Boyd, Wednesday, 1 p.m., right here on 860.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today. Today's broadcast is brought to you by the Philly Labor RX Injured Workers Pharmacy Network, featuring PPC Pharmacy, First Choice Pharmacy, and Precision Scripts, providing injured workers with premium products and services from the point of injury through the entire healing process. The Philly Labor RX Pharmacy Network cares about injured workers.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff. But still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Introducing the YMCA. What? You already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
And we are back. We were having such a great conversation during the break. I had to just remind myself and my guests that we were coming back live. It's Michelle Speaks at 8:60 a.m. and we are talking about doing big business in small communities. It's a Family Affair Part 1, and I have the privilege of having Marcus Knuckles and Asha Knuckles in the studio with me today. At the top half, we talked about the importance of the village and the rearing, development, and training of a child and how that has influenced the generations in the Knuckles family, starting with the influence to Marcus and Marcus to Asha and now Asha to her son. We're going to spend this second segment, and I want them to highlight the great work they're doing. So not only do they have a great bond in terms of father-daughter, but they are doing great things for individuals and small businesses in our communities. And so I'm going to start with Marcus, because we've done some things together. And when I said he is relentless about getting businesses access to capital, he is. But he is for a good reason. We need to understand that our city will thrive when small businesses are thriving. Yes, we have great larger institutions and larger companies, but the other component to enhancing our city is getting more access to capital to our small businesses. And Marcus, share more about what you do with small business owners and how you help them achieve their goals.
Sure. Well, I always like to use the analogy of the financial planner.
Yeah.
When you think about, you know, being a business owner or a high net worth individual, there are tons of people out here who want to tell you what to do with your money when you make it. You know, mm-hmm. wealth advisors, financial planners, asset managers, they have so many different names, so many different levels. But on the side of borrowing, and particularly for small business owners, there's no intermediary to help the small business owner navigate through all the different borrowing products.
Right.
There are tons of different products out here. There's ACH, MCA loans. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, bank loans. And then every bank has a bunch of different products, you know, term loans, revolving loans, you know, so the consumer, believe it or not, like, and I always tell people, you can go to a bank and you can talk to the number one salesperson at that bank. They can still only advise you on the products that that bank can offer.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have worked at another bank before, and that they know it's another product at a different bank that could probably help you, but it's not in the best interest of them to divulge that information. And if they do, they'll probably get in trouble. You know, so it's like, it's one of those situations where, you know, I tell people all the time, like, you know, somebody like me, I think is very important because, you know, I'm just the person that's just going to evaluate, you know, your personal and your business credit and just help you kind of find the right way and a plan, because a lot of times business owners are borrowing on knee-jerk reactions.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
They started out the business, is doing well. They get their first opportunity for a commercial contract, and then they're scratching their head like, oh, my gosh, I don't know what to do, you know, because this contract is a $500,000 contract. I'm only a $200,000 business. However, this contract can change my life.
Right.
It could change my family's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to the bank, and the banks are normally a prove and denial culture. It's not a holistic culture. It's not a, I'm sorry you denied, but here, let me tell you how you can get approved.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not in the best interest of the bank. You know, and I know this because, you know, I'm one of those type of guys, and Michelle, you know this, I will go to bank conferences because
yes.
I want to know, you know, I want to know the pain points that the banks are having. I want to know what that business banker's boss and bosses are thinking and their issues.
Yeah.
You know, so kind of having that reverse engineering practice, I'm able to really put some really good products and services and plans, really. Because people always, you know, Marcus, I don't want to borrow high interest. Well, I didn't say I'm giving you high interest money. Like, my partners are banks.
Right.
You know, however, in some cases, I do know how to use high interest money to put you in a banking situation. So, you know, and all that kind of comes with understanding utilization, understanding, you know, who uses TransUnion, who uses Equifax, who uses Experian.
Absolutely.
Like, there's so many different components, you know, that can help somebody borrow better, you know. But it's funny, though, because, you know, I get some clients that already have a 700-plus score, and they think, you know, they know how to do it. And I tell people all the time, like, listen, yes, you can go into a bank and get a line or a credit card, but when you're talking about a plan, you're not going to outplan me when it comes to that. Because of what I've been exposed to, you know, the people who taught me the game or, you know, people who really, you know, run stuff and top people in this country. I'm affiliated with different groups that are, you know, national affiliations of commercial loan brokers. You know, and now it's like I love the fact that I've helped people that were startups, you know, all the way to, you know, people doing tens of millions of dollars
a year. Absolutely.
So I really do love what I do. I'm passionate about it. I fight for my clients, you know, like right now. Just to kind of give you some numbers, like, because I was just looking at this, like 88% of what I submit to my lenders funds.
Wow.
And you were in the banking business, so you understand those ratios.
That is significant because I can't say that 88% get approved. So if you, but it is, so I need people to understand, yes, I come from a financial background, and that's one of the things that Marcus and I share. It is important to come prepared with a plan. Your credit score is one of the five C's that make you credit worthy. It is not the decision making, right? And so the plan being put in place also allows the borrower to speak intelligently to whoever they're asking for money from. Cash flow needs, you know, walking through the explanation of I need $500,000, but my business is only worth $200,000. Well, yeah, you got a lot of explaining to do. To a financial institution who's saying, you want me to give you $300,000 more than what you're worth. How does that work? But coming to individuals like you, and I've had interactions where you sit them down first and then map out the road to how do you get to what you need? And then how do you have the conversations? And then what's the best product? You know, and that's the piece that's also critical. Not walking in going, give me this, give me that, because we find that a lot sometimes on the other end, don't we, Asha? I know what I need. Don't tell me what I need. I'm like, well, do you go to the doctor saying, can I have penicillin because, you know, I know what ails me? No, but there is something about sitting down and getting very clear on how do I put this together to get access to capital. And I can tell you, being a brand new entrepreneur myself, it's a very different world being an entrepreneur versus sitting on the other side collecting a check. And so when you are putting together a plan, no matter how many years of experience you have, I'm going through it right now. How long has your business been in business? 1 year. Okay. So no matter what my credit score, you know, there are just some parameters that won't fit that I now have to justify and build out. But having folks like you in the community who, once they work with you to get a plan, you got an 88% pull through. That's why I said it's doing big business in small communities, because that's unheard of. That's unheard of. And that's passing along in the genes, you know, to Miss Asha, helping small businesses and individuals. Share what you do, Asha, on that end.
So I am a homeownership and credit coach. And in a sense, I kind of do exactly what my dad does, but just for consumers on a home buying standpoint. We do a thorough review of your credit situation, your income situation. And, you know, just as he said, when you go into, you know, one particular financial institution, they can only help you with what you have. And if you're denied, it's like, you know, what do you do next? So a lot of my clients, you know, may have been in situations where they got denied, but they didn't know what to do next. And, you know, so we go through and we, you know, plan and we get, you know, the credit to where it needs to be. But there are also other factors that you have to keep in mind. So say, for instance, you have certain people who, if they have significant changes in their tax returns in the last 2 years. So I might know, like, I have to go to one of my lenders that will primarily underwrite based off of, you know, 1 year's tax return versus the other lender that will just end up taking an average of the two because it won't work. It just saves, because buying a house is a very, very stressful, and it's a process within process. So when I bought my house, even having, you know, my financial background, I did, you know, it was very stressful. And I just felt like if I'm, you know, confused and overwhelmed with how certain things are going, then I could only imagine, you know, what other people are going through. So literally, I just, you know, kind of hold people's hands throughout the entire process. And it's been growing. You know, when you do good business, people tell their sisters, their cousins, their brothers, their friends. And, you know, I'm extremely grateful and blessed, and it just turns into, you know, opportunity to opportunity. And, you know, the most important thing is that we're making a difference in the community. We're making a difference in people's lives. In certain areas, if you buy, your mortgage can, you know, sometimes be in, you know, half of what you would end up paying in rent. That is what my situation was. Yeah. And, you know, also, you know, you got to be mindful. You know, salespeople in the bank, they have to do their job. So they, you know, the bank may approve you for more than what you should technically be buying. So I always encourage, you know, you buy three times, no more than three times what your salary is. Now, I was fortunate enough to find something that was like significantly less, and I was super excited. I bought my home from a nonprofit in the city, PBCIP. They rehabilitate homes, and they, you know, sell them to those in the community for an affordable, you know, price. So, you know, I was able to, you know, focus, you know, not worry about, you know, having to work two and three jobs like so many other hardworking people. And what people don't realize, like, we don't get that time back. So, you know, you really have to plan. It's just planning is very, very key.
Well, thank you, Asha, because you certainly are talking about the difference that you make in the lives of individuals to become homeowners, because that's one of the biggest steps, right? Outside of trying to get your kid to college, it's what do I own and how do I get ownership of my own home? Both of you talked about credit, and I want to dispel some myths, but I also want to add some clarity. So I'm going to start with you, Marcus, on the small business end. As we are looking at our small businesses, our entrepreneurs, share with them how do they become credit worthy, and what are some of the things that they can do today as they are looking at getting access to capital?
Sure. I think one of the first initial things, and it kind of starts on the consumer level, because first of all, as a small business owner, you have to understand that your personal credit score is your silent partner.
Yes.
And actually, it's not even silent, because it's loud. It does. But then the other component to that is credit is based off of how we pay bills. And if you want to get down to the root of it, is that most of us haven't really truly learned how to pay bills properly. Mm. And when I say that, I'll give you a very clear example. In most households, in our communities, it's pretty much, you know, pay your rent or your mortgage, your car payment, your car insurance, you know, all of the bills, you're paying that out of your checking account or whatever. And then whatever's left over, that goes to your credit cards.
Right.
Now, what happens is with that is that we all know that depending on life and life experiences, there's not a whole lot left over. So then now when you're either barely making a minimum payment, or even making a payment at all.
Right.
Because, you know, some people just look at it like, you know what? If I got to make a late payment on my Macy's card, but at least my lights are on and everything else, then I'm okay with that. And in theory, I understand that. But at the same time, there's a better way of paying the bill. Now we're going to get into a little bit of the science of it. So the beautiful thing about credit is that each creditor has a reporting date that they report information.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand reporting dates, then now it gives you a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah.
Because now when you get your paycheck, you can literally pay that money to pay off that credit card. And then once that item reports zero, then pay your bills through that credit card. That item is going to report zero for the next 30 days.
Yes.
So if you needed to, increase your credit line or whatever have you, you can do that normally during that time. Now, mind you, when I'm telling people this, I know it's going to be some people that's going to try to do this themselves. Don't try to do this yourself, especially your first time. Give us a call. But at the same time, too, even for business owners, the other thing, too, in our communities is that we've been very intimidated about credit,
mm-hmm.
In regards of, oh, no.
Right.
If I can't afford it,
I'm not spending it. I don't want access to it.
But
I'm
then
done.
When you make that transition from, planning to be a business owner.
Yes.
You have to now start thinking about increasing the availability of credit, because your availability of credit on the personal side is going to affect your availability of credit on the business side. So, the personal piece is so important. Now, mind you, there are some supplementary credit indexes that are out there that you can kind of build. Once you build a business, there's DNB.
Right.
There's Experian Business, Equifax Business, SBSC, SBSS. And mind you, these are also different things that, we kind of help people with. But and it's so funny because when you go into a bank and you ask a business banker who may have been there for 10, 15 years, hey, do you guys pull SBFS? They're going to be like, what are you talking about?
Right.
and mind you, even from me going to having access to going to the I go to FICO World conferences, to where, even just like I want to learn about, the finance products, I also want to learn about credit because, credit is the big determining factor to the finance products.
Yes, it is.
So I go deep, and I'll never forget my first FICO World Conference in D.C., and I'm just learning, more about, how even when, let's say, you're getting insurance for your car, like these companies, State Farms and, all these other different insurance companies, they literally have a separate credit matrix just for insurance products.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Car dealerships have a separate credit matrix just for automobile financing. Like, and so many different things, different components and how your spending habits and things of that nature in regards to your credit make such an impact on each one, and that's the thing that, once people start really truly understanding the value, and here's what I like to try to quantify things. So I've had clients that were on unemployment when they came to me, thinking about setting up businesses. While they were on unemployment, because they had decent credit profiles that I can build off of, I was able to help them get six figures in working capital for their businesses.
Hmm.
While they were on unemployment and still have successful businesses.
Wow.
So it's like, but that's the power of credit, and building it properly, and strategically, like everything planned. Nothing should be on a knee-jerk reaction. It all should start with evaluation, just taking a minute to just sit down, put everything on the table, and just say, okay, here's where I am. And then once you know where you're at, then now it's a much easier to kind of plan to get to that destination.
Well, that's the piece that I certainly want our listeners to hear, because you gave even a little bit of the secret sauce on how, to get access to capital. And quite frankly, it is understanding where you are, not being afraid. So if you take the time, even today or this week, so listen up, listeners, write down, here are all my expenses. Here's what I owe. Here's how I owe it. Then take a moment to say, now, how am I paying this? And you gave some of those details. Do you know when the billing cycle is? Do you understand when the payment actually has to be done? Are you thinking about how to get this credit card freed up so you can manage other bills? There is a strategy to increasing your credit score. There is a strategy. Now, part of that strategy is stop running up all these bills.
Absolutely.
Right? But part of that is stop incurring debt that supersedes your income. That's part of the strategy. But the other piece about it is making sure that as you are managing what I will call good debt, then that you're doing it wisely. Because for someone to be on unemployment and still get six figures worth of capital says a lot about what markets can do for you and your business. I'm going to take weeks. Wow, time is flying. Asha, what closing remarks would you have around credit for individuals who are seeking to get home ownership?
I would say just continue to pay everything on time. Keep your credit cards at or below 30% utilization, meaning your balance should not exceed 30% of that limit. And also, most of your bills can be paid online. Usually you can go on the website and go to account services and request a credit line increase. Even if we're not using this money, especially if you plan on being an entrepreneur, you always want to periodically go in, I say maybe like every 9 months, and request a credit line increase. Most cards now will allow you to do that without hard pulling your credit. If they do need to hard pull it, they do have to get your consent, and then you can just, you know, back out of it and say, never mind. But another thing is to always remember that your expectations have to match, you know, your drive and what you're willing to sacrifice. You know, all of this means nothing if you're not willing to sacrifice what you need to sacrifice and have discipline. So, you know, those things just have to align in order for this to work.
I like that. Your expectations need to meet your drive and your willingness to sacrifice. Because that is true. You didn't become a homeowner because you said, you know, I don't need to save any money. To be able to make the purchase you did came with sacrifice. And not many folks are looking at long term. It's long term planning in order to achieve your own business, access to capital, and to have home ownership. I told you this show was going to be a phenomenal show. The love of a father, the family component, doing big business in small communities. I'm going to give Marcus his last 30 seconds. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
I would say, you know, just the thing of just like really planning, and don't be afraid of information, you know, but at the same time, because, you know, I see this a lot too. People come into my office and we'll talk or we'll have a conversation, and then they're asking, you know, their uncle, you know, or a brother or somebody who's not a business owner,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't have, you know, the experience or whatever, asking them questions. And they come back to me questioning with the information that I gave them.
Right.
You know, and that, you know, that's one of the most, it's disheartening. And mind you, me being from where I'm from, like I love our people. I love the people. Like I just had a client not too long ago, a gentleman who just came home from doing like almost 20 years,
mm-hmm.
but came home in a good situation. He said he was home 2 days before he found a good job. Good job, making a little over $50,000 a year. Been on
wow.
his job for over a year and a half. You know, he's come to me, and I'm like, I got to help this guy. You
yeah.
know, and, you know, I helped get his scores up to like 750, 760 in a couple weeks. And then now I'm getting ready to get him ready to buy his first house. You know, an investment property opportunity has already come to him. You know, like those are the deals that I'm excited about. But the thing I love about him, he's so teachable and learnable.
Mm.
You know, he's Marcus, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. But then when I work with these folks that got these multiple degrees.
And I know as much as you do. What I really need is you to affirm what I want to do.
It's yeah. funny, but you know, but be teachable, coachable, just like with anything else. And especially when you're already a service provider. You're already a service provider coming to somebody for a service. You understand the dynamics. Like, you know, I'm not going to get in a tangent.
Yes.
But that's even with me too. Like, you know, I'm still a small business owner, you know, so I still have to reach out to folks that specialize in certain areas where I'm weak to kind of help me. Because, you know, the good thing about doing good business is that, you know, you start attracting more people. So now, you know, in regards of, you know, hiring more talent and things of that nature, you know, really kind of expanding and growing the business to be enterprising, you know, those are the things that I have to go out and look, you know, get help with, because I'm a great technician. You know, I know how to find people money, but now it's like I have to build the organization so that we can help more people.
So Marcus is excited to help you. Come willing to learn, and come with, you know, as an open vessel rather than a full one, that you can't pour much into somebody that already knows everything. So if you come willing, then you're able to. I'm getting my signal. So, Asha, you got 30 seconds to tell. What would you like to leave with our listeners today?
I would say just reflecting on, you know, me starting out. When I talk to my dad, he's always 110% behind whatever I want to do. But sometimes in the beginning, when I'm around people who are not doing what I want to do, sometimes you can get some, you know, discouragement of because that's not what everyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, why do you even care? Why do you want to buy a house? Just go rent the house right there. Like, why do you even care? So you have to have a strong mind. You got to be focused. You can't let what other people are saying or doing discourage you. You got to, you know, be able to, you know, block all that stuff out and, you know, get it done. And then just say, hey, I got it done. So, you know, here's what I did. Let me help you do it, too.
So that's coming from the 24-year-old, y'all. So at 19, she had her first home, and I'm going to say first because I'm sure there's many more to come. And she's saying, be careful about who you keep around you, because if they're not lifting you, they're pulling you back down. And so you have to be willing to see beyond what their experience is or has been. This has been Michelle Speaks on 860 AM. I am so excited about today's show. We have an upcoming event in September, September 21st and the 22nd. Women, It's Time to Heal. Catch it at itstimetoheal.eventbrite.com. We are running a special until the end of this month, both days at $125, both days, full days, 21 great speakers around helping women expose, medicate, and rehabilitate. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Asha, for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And for sharing how to become credit worthy, how important the village is, and how you too can be successful. This has been Michelle Lawrence. It's been a great pleasure talking about wealth and worth today. I look forward to talking to you again next week. Till such time, be blessed.